In today's episode of the Mavericks and Misfits podcast, we will take a strong look at the reality of word curses. Most of you listening, whether you realize it or not, have been word cursed many times in your life. We pass off word curses in a natural, human manner, but the enemy actively harnesses word curses to misshape and deform our sense of identity. Today, Jeff Lyle takes us to an episode in King David's life where he was terribly word cursed and shows us his godly response. Jeff is also going to share a personal story of being word cursed at such a level that it nearly crushed him. Please listen and consider if it is time for you to get free from the power of word curses.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Mavericks and Misfits podcast. Thanks for tuning in today. As usual, my name is Jeff Lyle and hosting you today. I don't know where you're watching or listening, but I'm grateful that you are. If you are a listener and were unaware that you can watch these same episodes on our YouTube channel, just look up Mavericks and Misfits podcast on YouTube. Subscribe to that channel. By the way, if you're watching on that channel already, would you subscribe to it? I don't know how it all works, but they say that's a really good for the traction of the podcast. So if you could subscribe, that would be fantastic. And if you're listening on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever else we're streaming, that option is available to you also. I've mentioned it before. I like listening to podcasts. I don't really like watching. So we give both options, and I'm just grateful that you've tuned in. I want to talk to you today about this issue that is sometimes controversial among Christians. I don't think non-believers, especially pagans, don't have any issues with this. They believe in this. What am I talking about? I'm talking about curses. In particular, I want to talk to you about word curses today, but what is this issue of a curse? Should any Christian who's in Jesus, the scripture says Jesus became a curse for us, speaking very precisely about when he died on the cross, the curse of the law was placed upon him. He suffered the full weight of the penalty for sin. The curse of the law was on Jesus. He was made a curse for us as one who hung upon a tree. And I get that. And obviously, that's not a curse that anybody else can bear. He took it for us. That's called penal substitution. He took the curse, paid our judgment. We who believe in him have had our judgment completely and eternally removed because our sin has been atoned for. It's been dealt with. So we're free in Jesus. But to be honest with you, I'm talking about a different kind of issue. What about word curses? What about literal curses? What about like witchcraft curses? Can any of that impact a Christian who is the temple of the living God, Jesus lives in us? Can that stuff have any bearing on our lives? Well, the answer to that is yes, and I've already disappointed right there, half of you, because you're thinking, no, Jeff, that stuff can't happen. Well, hear me out today. I'm not ever going to tell you that what is being done to you by way of a curse, then that it has any greater impact on you than what has been done for you as one who's had the curse removed. We're not talking about the penalty for your sin. I'm talking about when the enemy brings opposition to you by way of cursing that proceeds either from the human realm or the demonic realm. And what impact could that have on us? I'm thinking probably most specifically today about word curses that have come upon us from people. And I'm going to take you to an episode of King David's life in 2 Samuel chapter number 16, and he's literally being cursed. He's being cursed by a man who hates him, a man that has had pent-up rage, resentment, and bitterness towards David ever since he took over for King Saul. The man's name is Shimei. In my opinion, he's one of the most, maybe outside of Jezebel in the Old Testament, he's probably the most despicable character. And he is not the last one to operate in the spirit that he operates in. I'd like to call it the spirit of Shimei. I don't know that I have grounds to call it that, but it is kind of a spirit of cursing, a spirit of denunciation, and in particular, word curses. So I want you to think with me. Things that were said over you, negative things, accusatory things, condemning things, especially as a child when maybe an authority figure, it could have been a parent. I hate that for you if it was. But repeated denunciations of who you are. You're stupid. You're ugly. You will never amount to anything. Why can't you be more like? You're a loser. It breaks my heart, but those things are actually spoken over children by their parents. And I don't care who you are, that's going to impact you. It's going to dent you. It's going to hurt. And when that stuff happens repeatedly, and it doesn't have to be children, when you're married to somebody that's verbally abusive, when your boss at work denounces you and tells you everything you're not, and it comes in this strong way, I will tell you that Satan and his demons, his demonic army, they want to exploit that. It came from a human. Now, maybe the human that it came from was demonized, but regardless if they were or they weren't, when it hits you, it's going to hit you emotionally. It can be accompanied with physical hitting, but I'm talking mental and emotional right now. And it actually carves out a space in your brain, in your physical brain. It finds a place to lodge. Those curses, those threats, those insults, those denunciations, you never lose them. It's on your hard drive. And once it's on your hard drive, and especially if it's repeated, it takes up more and more space on your hard drive, your brain. And those function as curses in your mind. Again, they may have come from a purely human realm, but the enemy wants to use that, and he'll spare no effort to keep you in agreement with the word curse that has been spoken over you. I've had it happen in my life, not so much when I was a child. My parents didn't say that stuff over me. Actually, was raised by, you know, parents that believed in me. But I'm going to tell you, in ministry, I've been word cursed so many times. I've word cursed myself as an unbeliever, and maybe even as a believer. I've spoken things over myself that were patently untrue, but because of an agreement that I came in with, I literally, you can word curse yourself. Let me just give you some examples. You don't need to say things like, I'm so stupid. I'm always going to blow it. I'm never going to do this. And when you use words like always and never, or I'm so whatever, I'm so ugly, I'm so fat, I'm so stupid, I'm never going to lose weight, I'm never going to get a job, I'm always going to be poor. Those, and I know we don't like the phrase word curse because it's a little fringe and a little radical and a little charismatic-y, but the effect of it is exactly that. When you're making statements like that over yourself, you are coming into agreement with a lie that denies that Jesus is your victory. Jesus is your overcoming breakthrough. Jesus is not going to leave you in a place of ugliness and stupidity and always a loser. Those are lies for the Christian. And so we word curse ourselves, and other people word curse us. I'm going to get to this text in a moment, or I may just walk you through the story of David and highlight some things. But the single most damaging thing that I've ever endured in ministry was about 3 or 4 years ago. And I've been in ministry a long time, and I've had so much stuff said about me. I mean, you can't do the reforming work that I've been able to do by the grace of God in ministry and not take some shrapnel. People are going to talk about you. I've been lied about. But what happened a few years ago was at the end of a very difficult conflict season that had so much Jezebelian demonic activity all over it. I mean, I'll probably won't understand all that was going on until I get to heaven and Jesus sorts it out for me. But in that season, I had undergone like literally a coup. These people tried to run me off from my church. They were making up horrific lies. And I don't say this in any way. I'm not going to mention names. That would be completely sinful and wrong. But the fact of the matter is it happened. Bizarre lies being told about me. And it was an onslaught that just kept coming and coming. The design was to run me out of the church. And by the grace of God, we survived that season. But at the end of it, I wanted to have a moment of reconciliation with a couple of the people that were involved. Because actually, in the midst of all the warfare, I felt like I had actually misunderstood them at a certain level. And I needed to repent to them. I knew the Lord was saying, you need to repent. Well, before this meeting, God had told me, you are going to say nothing. After you give your repentance and your apology for what you did, Jeff, you're going to say nothing. You need to fast for 3 days. Don't eat for 3 days because they're going to come at you. Now, friends, you know, it's bad enough to have to do something like that. But when you know it's coming, when the Lord has told you, you need to get ready, it's going to be rough. And so I did. And it happened exactly the way he spelled it out. But the end result was these two individuals word cursed me. I mean, bad. Not only about things that I'd done, but one particular individual word cursed me at such a level that he said things like, God is through with you. You are an evil pastor. You are an unholy shepherd. You will never do ministry again. God is done with you. He has blotted you out from ministry. It was things like that that were said. So it was an attack on my purpose. There were character attacks. I was compared to some really heinous people in these individuals' history, things that have been done to them, and I was compared with those perpetrators. So, it lasted for about an hour, and I was in the room with other leaders, and none of us said a word. I never said a word. I did not reply. Be honest with you, it's kind of pitiful. I wept a little bit because it was daggers. So we got through that meeting, and in the end result, a couple of weeks later, Amy lovingly, just such a good woman, told me, "You are not the same. Something happened to you. You're not yourself." And I felt it, but I didn't know others were seeing it. And so, long story short, I took about an 8-week sabbatical from ministry, turned it over to capable leaders in the church, told the church that the warfare that had lasted about 6 months at that time had taken a toll on me. I didn't quit. I just said, I need to get recentered in the Lord. And so I went through deliverance. I went through a couple of months of counseling that began with that first 8-week sabbatical, and then about a 4-hour deliverance session. What I found in that is that the word curses that had happened in that meeting were probably the most damaging things that had ever happened to my soul. My soul got hit. And I never would have thought that would have happened to me. I mean, you're talking to a guy that's in the Word all the time, ministering, walking in holiness, in the Bible, praying in the Spirit, like surrounded by people that cared about me and loved me. There were some that didn't at that season. But it was the force of the word curse, and it was not human. Now, if you're asking me to give you 6 Bible verses on exactly what happened, I can't. But I can tell you that post-deliverance, I was never the same. When I went through the deliverance, all that junk was broken off of me, plus a bunch of other junk that had nothing to do with this brother and sister that were upset with me. And the end result is that all the lies that had gotten in me, they were verbally spoken against me, they were word curses, somehow they got in me. And I came into agreement that on a certain level, everything that these people had said about me must be true because they said it so passionately. And it's just warped. I mean, that's all I can tell you. It was such demonic confusion. But hallelujah, here's the whole point, that the word curse inevitably bowed to the truth that the Holy Spirit came and rescued me with and brought me into. So the lies that even I knew mentally they were lies, but something happened. So why do I tell you my story? I don't like drama. And by the way, I have completely forgiven everybody. I hope that they've forgiven me. They never told me that day. Matter of fact, when I asked them for forgiveness, the answer from one of the individuals was, no, that'll be a process, and I never talked to them again. And so I hope they're doing well. I bless them in the name of Jesus. I know they love the Lord, and I want them to get everything that Jesus has for them. But I had to take care of my own soul. And so I'm sharing my story to connect with you. What word curses have you believed? What has been spoken to you? What has been spoken over you? What accusations have come to you? What has been misrepresented to you at such a level that you may have come into agreement with it? And yeah, I'm willing for you to go all the way back to your childhood. It may be some of the first things you ever heard that got in you, and you're managing life, you're moving forward, but are you in agreement with word curses? So let me tell you about Shimei, and let me tell you about King David here. So it's in 2 Samuel 16. So David is being run off from the throne by his rebel son Absalom. And there is this guy named Shimei who was a relative of King Saul, David's predecessor. And this guy has had for a long, long time a ton of anger and resentment because David replaced his family member on the throne of Israel. So when David's getting run off in humiliation from his throne by his son Absalom, Shimei thinks, finally, that wretched king that I hated is done. He is down at a low level. I'm going to give this man a piece of my mind. I'm going to tell him everything that I thought. So let me read to you just a couple of the verses from 2 Samuel 16. It says, when King David came to Bahurim, that's just a little town, there came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. And as he came, he cursed David continually. He threw stones at David and at all the servants of David and all the mighty men that were on his right hand and his left hand. And Shimei said as he cursed, get out, you man of blood, you worthless man. Yahweh has avenged on you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you've reigned, and Yahweh has given the kingdom into the hand of your son Absalom. See, your evil is on you. You are a man of blood. Okay, now, we weren't there. We can only read the words, but I have felt the force personally of that spirit that Shimei was operating in. So what is he doing? He's rehearsing the sins of David. He's talking about David being a man of bloodshed. That probably refers to the shedding of blood of Uriah the Hittite, the husband of Bathsheba. Sorry, throat got dry there. And he's saying all the blood of the house of Saul. In other words, you murdered all the house of Saul, which is completely patently false. Did not happen. And he insinuates that you got the throne by illegitimate means. You reigned in Saul's place after you made sure he died. And then he invokes the name of God. This is the most demonic part of word curses. It's a religious word curse that invokes God on behalf of the curser. And in essence, it invokes God's name, character, and authority against you, against the person being cursed, and says, God has brought trouble on your life because God is done with you. And that's exactly what Shimei said. Wow. Like, that is intense, but that is exactly what was going on. This is the essence of a word curse. A word curse is to drive you away from the identity that you have in Jesus. It is to mar the fact that you are made in the image of God. It is to slander your soul to the point where it's a wound. It's a dagger. It's a piercing. And the effect of that is that the design is to penetrate so deeply because it comes with force. It often comes with repetition. It often comes not just from one Shimei, but a group of Shimei's in the religious world that have banded together. The goal is to destroy your sense of knowing who you are. It is to replace your identity with the accusation. So who you are in Christ is sought to be moved out of the way, and a replacement is that you are actually what this curse says you are. In David's case, you're illegitimately the king. You have illegitimately gained your position. You are a man of bloodshed, and the very God you think you know is against you. That's the force of the curse. That's what happened to David. And by the way, it says that he kept doing it. Shimei just kept doing it as they're walking along. And David's got some people in his loyal entourage that are like, how about I go kill this guy? How about you let me kill this guy? Look at what David says. I'm going to give you this verse, and then I'm going to kind of unpack the rest of this, and we'll be done. But David, when Abishai, one of David's loyal men, said, I'm going to go over there. I'm going to cut that man's head off. I'm going to cut Shimei's head off. David, I'm asking permission. Let me silence the guy that's cursing you. And listen to what David says. David says he's cursing because the Lord has said to him, curse David. David says, if that's true, who then shall say, why have you cursed? He says, behold, my own son is seeking my life. How much more now may Shimei leave him alone, let him curse. It may be that the Lord will look on the wrong done to me, and the Lord will pay me with good for his cursing today. In the very next verse, because David responded beautifully. Most of us don't. When somebody curses us, what are we going to do? We're going to say, oh, you want to go cut his head off for me? Thank you. Go do it. David did not. David literally sought the sovereign hand of God in what was happening. This is crucial. The devil intends to destroy you through word curses. I want to tell you what God's design is when God allows somebody to word curse you. God's design is that through the process and the pain, God didn't make it happen. God didn't prevent it from happening. So there's got to be a design for your good in it. When somebody has word cursed you, when somebody has sought to destroy you, when somebody has come at you with condemnation, unjust accusation, when they've misrepresented you, mistreated you, misunderstood you, and they've packaged that into a verbal missile that hits you, what is God's design in it? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to take all of the mystery out of it. God's design is that through the false accusation, the false condemnation, and the cursing, that you would press into the Lord through your pain, through your confusion, and that you would so press into God, and that you would come out of that season of pressing into God with a galvanizing of actually knowing who you are. Because the assault is to shift your perception of God's will toward you and your own identity of yourself. You lose who you are when you come into agreement with the word curse. It is replacing who you know you are with a counterfeit, with a substitute that is meant to destroy you. But if you will press into the Lord, if you will acknowledge these things that are being said are not true, but I feel that they are, I'm now confused because it seems to me that what they're saying is penetrating me. Am I this person? Am I this young person? Am I this man? Am I this woman? And the devil's running his mouth too. At the point where the word curse hits you, that's where the demonic activity takes the ball and runs with it and pummels you. You can't sleep. You can't think. You can't. You're in panic. You're wondering, oh, am I even saved because of all these things that have been said? I mean, I'm telling you, I've walked through this and I've walked with others who have been through this. This is like the strategy of the enemy. But here's the strategy of God in letting it happen. You're going to press into me, my child. You're going to press into me. You're going to seek me. You're going to get into my word. You're going to gain the strength to know how to disarm these lies of the enemy that came through the mouth of another human being. And if you will not give up, if you will not stay in agreement with these things, if you will go ahead and wrestle with me through this like Jacob wrestled with me, then you're going to come out with a new name like Jacob did. Do you remember that? Jacob wrestled with God because Jacob was struggling with all these things that he had done in his past. He wrestles with God, the angel of the Lord, the book of Genesis. And then at the end of the wrestling match, Jacob is so touched by God that he walks differently. Come on, somebody. He walks differently the rest of his life. But that wrestling match ended with Jacob getting a new name. That's where he was renamed Israel. He got his new identity, his true identity, through the wrestling match in the darkness. Good night alive, that'll preach. That's what happens. That's God's design. He doesn't prevent the word cursing, but he doesn't endorse it. He lets it come so that it'll drive you, the one who's been slandered, the one who's been accused, the one who's been misrepresented, the one who's been word cursed. It's meant to drive you. Let the enemy drive you to your refuge. Your refuge is the truth of God. And that's what David did. David said, hey, Abishai, no, I'm not going to let you kill the dude. If God is allowing Shimei to curse me, it's small compared to my own son rebelling against me. And if this guy's going to curse, he's going to curse. Maybe God's going to repay me good. I love that. So what do we do with this today? I can tell you, and I feel led to testify. I don't like talking about my junk, man. This was like it was the single worst thing I've gone through in ministry. Now, we've been through other things in our family with Amy's wreck and almost losing her and things like that, that are in a different category altogether. But this was one of those moments where I knew the enemy was trying to take me out. It was that forceful. And it's embarrassing to talk about because I would love to tell you it didn't bother me a bit. No, it absolutely messed me up to the point where I had to say, I don't think I can get up and preach right now. I need to work on my own soul before I can even presume to help people with theirs. And that's like embarrassing. It's very humbling is probably the better word. But I didn't care. At the time, I'm like, whatever it takes to get well, whatever it takes to get these piercings out of me. Felt like I had 100 spears in me that came via the mouth of that man and the other person in the room. And so at the end of it, I pressed into the Lord. I got help from Safe Harbor Ministries. Tim and Beth Scott are godsends, amazing ministers and counselors, and spent weeks and weeks with them. And then I think it was about a 3 or 4 hour deliverance session, everything got broken off and I got free. I did some further healing because I got delivered, and then I went through some healing with Crosspoint Ministries and Allison Lusted. Her and Chuck are another couple of amazing people, and they helped me heal. I got delivered, but the wounds need to be healed. Truth heals cursing. Holy Spirit truth is what It's the antidote. It's the anti-venom to word curses. And word curses almost always come against who you are. That's the objective of the enemy in allowing a human word curse. The human curses the individual. Demons take that one-time verbal onslaught or that pattern of verbal abuse or onslaught, accusation, denunciation. Demons take it and somehow are able to rehearse it in your mind, in your soul. I don't know how it all works. But it feels like truth when a word curse has done what it's intended to do. You start believing the lie. And so through this process, I got delivered and I got healed. And now that's why I'm able to talk about this now and not cringe. Yeah, it's humbling. It's a little embarrassing to tell the story. But man, I'm not going to waste my weakness. I'm going to help you with it. Because some of you all have been word cursed. Some of you are living still in decades-old word curses from ex-spouses, parents, co-workers, bosses, teachers, coaches. And it's time to get free. But the way you get free is by pressing into the Lord and coming out of agreement with falsehood that was spoken so forcefully to you that it felt true. And so your identity got eroded in part. And what God does is he builds back your identity, which is not rooted in what anybody says about you. It's rooted in what he says about you. And so you're fully accepted. You're complete in Jesus Christ. You're accepted in the beloved. You're a beloved son or a daughter, not based on what you did or do, but based on his love for you, which is unconditional love. You are 100% secure in what Jesus has done for you. And there is now, therefore now, no condemnation to you because you're in Christ Jesus. You either believe that or you don't. I am not condemned. Now, that couple condemned me. Those individuals condemned me. They accused me. They spoke condemnation over my future, declared that God was done with me. That's a terrifying thought, that God would be done with you. It's a terrible thought. And it was spoken under such demonic activity in the room that it felt true. That's how twisted word curses are. They feel true. And so you got to come out of agreement with it. So I heartily recommend deliverance. Like, get that junk broken off you. And if you don't know this, we do deliverance every Sunday afternoon at Antioch Outpost now. I do participate, but it's not me. It's Apostle Alexander Pagani, probably one of two or three foremost well-known and beautifully equipped deliverance ministers in the United States. He moves with force and power, and demons run. It just happens. And yeah, I believe that, yeah, you can get delivered from stuff in a mass deliverance service in a room with a couple of hundred people. I don't think you necessarily have to go through counseling. I think it's the best way. But some people can't drop everything like I was able to do and take 8 weeks and get counseling and deliverance and then healing. So show up at Antioch Outpost in Bethlehem, Georgia at 1:30 in the afternoon on Sundays and get delivered. And then seek healing. Like, you got to take care of your own soul. The devil doesn't just say, "Oh, shucks, she quit believing the word curses I sent." No, the devil, he doesn't like to let people run away into freedom, so he continues to fight, but you win, because greater is he that's in you than the one that's in the world. That doesn't mean you're immune from the fight. Doesn't mean the word curses don't hurt. Doesn't mean you don't have some work to do to get your brain healed. Not just your mind, your brain. Because your brain is literally an organ that gets shaped and reshaped depending on the signals that are firing through it. Your thought patterns actually put furrows in your brain. Your thoughts move along furrows in your brain. It's not medical language, but it is true. Study it out yourself. And that when a repeated thought goes through your brain, it actually carves out its own pathway, neural pathways. And so when you get healed, your brain heals. And you won't think the way you think because the thoughts have been rerouted, diluted, or kicked out, and your brain actually heals. So there's way more to it than just saying, man, I wish they hadn't said that. Get free. Fight back in the spirit. Not like Abishai wanted David to fight, but you fight back in the spirit by pressing into the Lord and knowing who you are and being able to say, man, that was painful. It may have lasted decades. Don't go a day longer. Don't go a day further. You don't have to agree with the lies. God is not done with you. God is not sick of you. You're not a despised, tolerated child. You are accepted. You are beloved. God is well aware of every sin you ever committed, and he loves you anyway. and he's not done with you. Jesus never gives up. Jesus says, no man will pluck them out of my hand. Jesus, in a church that made him sick in Revelation 3, the church of Laodicea, he said, you make me sick because you're lukewarm. He's still knocking at the door. He's still saying, will you let me in? Isn't that amazing that when people's sins actually make him nauseous, he's still saying, I want in. I'm coming to you. I'm not done with you. He's just an amazing king and amazing savior. And the devil doesn't stand a chance when we come out of agreement with word curses and step into agreement with what God declares over us. My time's gone. Let me tell you this as I roll on. If you're interested in coming along and helping me with the prayer and training center that we are building in Dawsonville, Georgia, I want you to follow me on Facebook. Just look up Jeff Lyle, or Jeffrey D. Lyle is actually, there's a lot of Jeff Lyles out there. I was shocked to find that out. There's a bunch of us. But Jeffrey D. Lyle is my handle. You recognize my picture. And so, follow me on Facebook. That's where I'm giving periodic updates. The more action and activity that's helping on the property, the more updates there will be. I don't want to talk a ton about it on the podcast, but I am making you aware of it. We're raising funds to do this. I don't mind asking you to come alongside of this because this is a kingdom work. Some of you have been incredibly blessed and you may be actually praying, God, where can we sow into something? I'm asking you to consider this amazing thing that we're building. It's called Shiloh Collective. And there's a story behind the name that's Amy's story to tell, but that's the name of it, Shiloh Collective. We're going to do prayer. We're doing worship. We're going to do mentoring. We will do filming for Mavericks and Misfits and Transforming Truth. There is a small group of Christians in the city of Dawsonville that are beginning to meet together. And when that building's complete, we're going to offer them an opportunity to meet there until they find a building of their own. There's just so much that we can do. That's like it's almost a 3,000 square foot building that is on a property that we own, and it's just a warehouse that's been sitting there with nothing going on for the kingdom. So Amy and I felt the Lord saying, it's time, do it. And so we're donating the building, and we're sinking money into it to build it out, but I need help. So if you're interested in learning more about this, go to transformingtruth.org. And you can donate there. It's tax deductible. Just choose Prayer Training Center as your option for donating online. You can donate, through Venmo, through Cash App. All of that's there on the transformingtruth.org donating page, and it'll tell you where to do it. But if you're listening, it's Cash App is $TransformingTruth. Venmo is @TransformingTruth. And you can even write a check. So if you've got questions about that, hit me up on social media. Email me at Jeff@maverickmisfit.com. You can always do that if you got suggestions for episodes or if you want to know more about Shiloh Collective and the project that's going on. Email me at Jeff@maverickmisfit.com and I'll be happy to reply. Pray for that. We need some favor. I need to maintain favor with the county that they don't stop us, and they're not, but it's just a slow process. But we just want to get this thing going. I really want to have some services before the holidays. I'm praying, God, help us to get some traction on that thing. Even if the aesthetics aren't perfect on the outside of the building, Lord, let us get that thing functional and get our CO, our certificate of occupancy, so we can start doing what we do. We're going to pour into young people. Oh, man, there's just so much you can do, but we need some help. And so think about that. Pray about it. And if you can help us, that's great. All right, my time's gone. Love you guys. Thanks for letting me pour into you today. I break off in the name of Jesus. I break off in the name of Jesus every word curse you've believed. I bind any spirit that is facilitating a wrong identity in you. And I ask you, Father, as we bind and we break off, would you move in tenderness, compassion, mercy, and relief? Set some people free from the power of word curses in Jesus' name. Amen. Talk to you next time.
What helpful wisdom from God's word and from Jeff's personal testimony. We have permission from God to forcefully and utterly reject what people have spoken over us that is not aligned with His truth and His heart for us. Take ownership of your own history with words people have cut into you with. Speak life over yourself. Speak truth over yourself. Break off the force of word curses spoken against you. Parents and authority figures get us wrong at times. Don't live another day underneath the weight of their word curses. You are free. We will see you next week on the next episode of the Mavericks and Misfits podcast.